brother Gino Cassieri. You are instructor for the course in the Book of Joshua. The last time as we began our course, we looked at some introduction material on the Book of Joshua. And we're beginning lesson number two. And the title of our lesson, number two, is Preparing to Serve. Preparing to Serve. And we're going to be looking at chapter one of the Book of Joshua. Last time we saw that the Book of Joshua in the Old Testament is what the Book of Acts is to the New Testament. The living out of the commands and laws of the law. Getting a grasp of the lessons taught in Joshua will make the Christian stronger in battle against sin and temptation in their life. First, we want to take stock of the situation. We want to size up the situation. Let's begin in the Book of Joshua, chapter number 1, and verses 1 and 2. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So we see then that Moses is dead. The servant of the Lord Moses is dead. And now God is passing the responsibility of the leadership of the children of Israel to Joshua. Look in Deuteronomy with me in chapter 34 and verse number 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And then, of course, we see as we pick up in Joshua chapter 1 that the responsibility for the leadership is now passed on to Joshua. Next thing we want to ask is, who is Joshua? Who is this guy? Well, first of all, we want to see that Joshua was a man under authority. Let's go back to Exodus chapter number 17 for just a moment. Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. So we see that, here we see that Joshua is exhibiting obedience and submission to the leadership of Moses. He's a man of under authority, Joshua, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were ready and steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So we see then that Joshua, under the command of Moses, went out and fought against Amalek and was victorious against Amalek. But we want to see, the point we want to see here is that he was a man of an authority. He knew how to take orders. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about being under authority. Let's go to Luke in the New Testament. So we see that Joshua was a man under authority. In Luke chapter 7, we want to look at the centurion for a moment. In verses 1 to 10. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he said unto him, the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole, that he had been sick. Here's a man, a centurion, a Gentile, who was under the authority of Jesus Christ. And because he chose, under his own free will, to be under the authority of Jesus Christ, we see the great miracle that was wrought that day. Of course, the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ himself and how he was under the authority of the Father. In Philippians chapter 2, if you turn there with me, please, Philippians chapter 2, in verses 5 through 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see that Jesus was also a man under authority, under the authority of his Father. And we see that Joshua was loyal to Moses because he was loyal to God. Amen. Because Joshua understood that Moses was the man of God, that Moses was the man that God had chosen to lead the children of Israel. And so he was in submission. Because he was loyal to Moses, he was also loyal to God. Because remember that Moses was God's representative, amen? We read in Colossians chapter 3, in verses 22 to 23, servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And what the Bible is saying here is when the servant is serving his master, he is to do it as he is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Joshua was serving Moses. He was Moses' servant. And because he was Moses' servant, he was God's servant. Now, what's the principle that we can learn behind all of this? Well, God works through authority. Again, God works through authority. Even though our society today is against authority, amen. Again, God never changes. He works through authority. Those who are outside of authority are in Satan's domain and unprotected. It's what we call the umbrella principle, amen? For example, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. In verse 5, we're told about a man committing fornication with his father's wife. Obviously, this man is outside of authority. It says, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Again, these two individuals were outside of authority. They were in Satan's domain. And Satan had reign over them. Amen. God ordained government. Amen. And we're to be in submission to government as long as it doesn't go against God. Amen. Romans chapter 13 in verses 1 and 2. We're told, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, when you resist the power of government that's been ordained by God, it says, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So when people rebel against the government, amen, and go against the government, they're going against God, amen. And then also we see authority with government and in the family also. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And this is what we call the chain of command. God, Christ, man, woman. And this is set up by God for protection for us. And of course, today, whenever you talk about the woman is to, the wife is to be in submission to the husband, amen. Just as Christ is the head of the church, the man is to be the head of the wife. She's to be under his authority, just as man is to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. Boy, this is not very popular. But we don't care if it's popular or not. This is what the Word of God says. And it's set up this way to protect us, to protect mankind, to keep order. Amen. But whenever we go outside of God's ordained authority, we're in rebellion. And we know the greatest rebel was Satan, amen. We're in his territory. We're in his domain. So again, we want to see then, as we're tying all of this into, that Joshua was a man under authority. The principle that we learn again is God works through authority. Now, the second thing about, as we're looking at, who is this guy Joshua anyway? We see that he was a man under authority, but also he was a man willing to wait. He was a man willing to wait. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 24, in Exodus chapter 24, we want to look at verses 9 through 18. Then went up Moses and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone in a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. He was there. He had to be patient. Amen. Joshua was with him, waiting that 40 days and 40 nights until Moses came down. Amen. Joshua, like Moses, was a man willing to wait. And we must, as Christians, be willing to wait on God sometimes. Amen. That's one of the hardest things as Christians for us to do is to wait on God. Amen. You know, especially in the country that we live in, everything is instant, you know. Instant coffee, all the fast food joints, amen. Everything done, the microwaves, everything's done in a hurry. But God's never in a hurry, you're going to notice. 1 Peter with me, chapter 5, in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time." You've got to be willing to wait in due time. When he's good and ready to do it, he'll do it. But waiting on God takes some humility. Because waiting on God says, God knows what he's doing and I don't. Amen? Amen to that. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 with me, please. In Psalm 37, in verse number 34, the Bible tells us, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Wait. Over and over and over again, the child of God is told to wait on God. And when you wait on God, the results are wonderful. You'll be blessed. Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 22. Proverbs 20. In verse 22, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." When people do us wrong in the flesh, boy, do we want to retaliate right away. But again, the Bible tells us to wait on God. He will recompense the evil. He will save thee. Again, we can learn another principle about seeing how that Joshua, as we're sizing up what kind of stuff or the character that Joshua was made of, we see that he was a man willing to wait. And the Bible has a lot to say about waiting on God for the Christian. The principle that we want to learn and see here is this. Doing is always easier than waiting. Again, doing is always easier than waiting. You know, God does not need a bunch of bullheaded people running ahead of him. Amen? Wait on God. Be still sometimes. In the ministry, we get caught up running 100 miles an hour in all kinds of directions. But I believe that's not what God would have us to do. Sometimes he just wants us to be still and to wait on him, to be patient. As hard as it is, amen, we need to wait on God. Notice what happens when leaders do not learn to wait. I think about Aaron and the Israelites when Moses was up in the mountain for the 40 days and 40 nights, and they thought he wasn't coming back. And they got Aaron, Of course, Aaron went along with it and built that idol golden calf. And they were backslidden. Amen. They were dancing and making merry and fornicating in the camp, and all kinds of wickedness was going on. All because Aaron wasn't strong enough and saying, we need to wait on God. Wait on Moses to come down. We remember also with Saul at the Battle of the Philistines, when he didn't wait on Samuel to come, amen, to offer the sacrifice, and he offered the sacrifice himself. And as a result, what happened? He lost his crown. Amen. He lost his crown. So far as we're looking at who this guy Joshua is, he was a man under authority, he was a man willing to wait, and he was also a man with settled loyalty. He was a man with settled loyalty. Let's turn to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers with me, if you would. In Numbers chapter 11, in Numbers chapter 11, we want to look at verses 26 through 30. Numbers 11, beginning in verse number 26. And there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord, Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And of course, see, what we're seeing here is was Joshua's loyalty to Moses. He didn't want those other men prophesying and getting the attention, because he was loyal to Moses. Moses was the leader at the time. Settle loyalties. If you think about settle loyalties, as Joshua was loyal to Moses, we think of some areas in our Christian life that we should be loyal or settled in loyalty, and that should be in friendship. Amen. A friend loveth at all times. A friend will try to help someone to see the errors of their ways. They'll also encourage them, but also tell them when they're wrong in a loving spirit to help them grow. We also need to be settled loyalties as in marriage. God ordained marriage. One woman and one man. To cleave to one another, to become one flesh, until death separate them. Amen. Settle loyalties. That's one thing we see very little of today, even amongst Christians, is loyalty. You see them leaving one church to go to another church because that other church may have nicer facilities or more activities, amen? That's not what it's all about. Christian, you need to settle some things. You need to settle your loyalty. We think of settled loyalty as in service to our country. Amen. It's a great honor to serve your country and not just yourself. It's a sacrifice. Amen. And many men and women have sacrificed their lives over the many years because of their loyalty to this country and not their loyalty to their self. And last but not least, as we talk about loyalty, as in our service to Jesus Christ, you should be loyal to Him. Amen. Nothing should distract you from serving Him and loving Him. Nothing should get you away. Not the television. Amen. Not the newspaper, not the radios, not the movies, nothing. You should serve Him. And when someone starts putting Him down, you should be like Joshua, quick, and say, wait a minute. I serve a risen, living Savior. He's my commander in chief, amen. Who do you serve? Who are you loyal in service to? It should be Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be a ministry. It shouldn't be a man or a machine. It should be Jesus Christ. And then we see also that Joshua was a man with an unhindered view of God. Looking in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers 13, we have the account of the naming of the spies. Amen. To be sent out to search the land, the promised land. And of course, amongst those numbered there, in there is Joshua. We're told that they go out, the 12 spies, one from each tribe, and they go up and they see that the land is great, it's bountiful. It says, for example, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two upon, and they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. So can you imagine that the cluster of grapes was so heavy, was so large, that two had to bear it? This was a fruitful land. Amen. So they came back, and they returned after searching out for 40 days. And it says in verse 26, and they went and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They brought back that cluster of grapes. Can you imagine the people, their eyes must have popped out. Wow, look at the size of those grapes. And they told him and said, we came into a land whither thou sent us, and surely, yes indeed, it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they're saying, yes, it's everything that we were told that it would be. Nevertheless, here we come. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amaleks dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So we see that the only spies, the two spies that came back and did not give an evil report was Caleb and Joshua. Now let's go to the next chapter, chapter 14. Caleb has his, tells how they should go up and take it. Now Joshua speaks in verse 6 of Numbers 14. "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh were with them that searched the land and rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with them, is with us. Fear them not." Hear that? He says, "The Lord is with us. Fear them not." Joshua and Caleb said, "The Lord is with us. Fear them not." See, Joshua was a man with an unhindered view of God. Joshua was not trusting in himself like the others were. He knew that with God on his side, nothing, absolutely nothing, was impossible. And then we see at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 that he was a man ready to serve. "Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." So, and this is how every Christian should be, by the way. Each one of us should be ready always to serve. Someone once said the greatest ability of a Christian is availability. Are you available for God? You need to ask yourself that question. Are you available to God? Are you ready to serve in whatever area that he may want you to serve? Are you ready? So then, we've sized up this guy Joshua, this man Joshua. And we've seen several things about him. First of all, we saw that he was, first of all, a man under authority. Second of all, we saw that he was a man willing to wait on God. Thirdly, he was a man with settled loyalty. He was loyal to Moses. He was Moses' servant, his minister. He ministered to Moses. Fourthly, he He was a man with an unhindered view of God. He didn't trust in himself. He knew that with God on his side, that nothing was impossible. And fifth, he was a man ready to serve. Now, as we go through the rest of the chapter, we see that now we're ready to take up, or Joshua is ready to take up the challenge. Take up the challenge in verses 3 through 18. So we see now that we want to look at now, we've looked at taking the stock of the situation. Now we're going to take up the challenge in the rest of the chapter from verses 3 through 18. First, we want to look at the extent of the promised possession. The extent of the promised possession. Look it with me in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 3 to 4. The Lord tells Joshua this: every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Everything that was promised to Abraham 600 years prior, that was the extent of the promised possession. Everything that God had promised to Abraham, nothing had changed. Amen? It was bigger than humanly possible. Amazing. Next, as we take up the challenge, we saw the extent of the possession. Next, we want to look at the assurance of victory. Look at in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What a great promise. God makes promises and keeps them. And what's interesting, as you go and you read through this chapter, chapter 1, the conquest is always spoken of as have already taken place in the past tense. We see that in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given already, past tense. Look at in verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Past tense, already. Already given them the land. Verse 14. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side, Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. See, the land which Moses gave you, already, past tense. And then in verse 15, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you, they also have possessed, past tense, the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it with Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side toward the sun rising. Notice that God is outside of time, amen? He's not affected. He's got his own rules. He can do what he pleases, amen? And we want to notice that not a victory is promised, But a total victory is promised to Joshua in verse 5. And why is that? Because of God's presence, Jesus would be with them doing the fighting. And as Christians, we need to remember that. Jesus will be with us doing the fighting. Because of our faith and confidence of God, we must have that as Joshua had that. That's why total victory is promised. And because God's word is the sword that defeats the strongest. That's how Jesus defeated Satan, as it is written. Amen. And that's how you and I, as children of God, will be able to fight and defeat the strongest, is with the word of God and our faith and belief in it. Well, that's all the time we have. We're going to continue lesson number 2. We haven't finished lesson number 2 yet, preparing to serve. And we'll continue on lesson number 2, preparing to serve, when we pick up once again